Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Think about what can go right when you plan for the future. Talk to a financial broker and start your savings plan today.
Now, Russia's defense ministry has claimed that its forces have seized control of Soledar in eastern Ukraine, but a Ukrainian military official maintained that the battle for the salt mining town was not yet over. Nearly 600 residents out of a pre-war population of over 10,000 remain in the town, trying to survive a bloodbath, according to one Ukrainian official. The capture of Soledar would represent a boost for the Kremlin after several setbacks for Putin's forces. In a moment, I'll be speaking with Ukrainian MP and leader of the Voice Party, Kira Ruddick. But first, journalist Katerina Maliyeva joins me now on the line. Katerina, thank you very much for joining us this evening. We heard there in the news headlines that Kiev is saying its troops are still holding out in Soledar. So what is the latest information we have about who is in control?
Well, I'm afraid that my sources on the ground can confirm the statement of the Russian Minister of Defense and also the Russian Telegram channels that the town of Soledar is lost for the Ukraine at the moment. Ukrainian troops are slowly retreating and getting out of the town. So although as of 2 hours ago, Ukrainian officials at the General HQ still say that the fighting is still ongoing. But this is a normal statement. It's a normal statement when the last troops that are holding the town need to retreat safely from the town, and including the special forces and other forces that are implementing special tasks.
I know you were there recently in Soledar. I saw some aerial footage of the town earlier today on social media, and it really is completely devastated, isn't it? Can you describe it a little bit for us, and how significant is it in the wider picture in this war?
I was near Soledar last week, and when you're talking about the devastation, the picture of the devastation, this is a normal tactic of the Russian army to take the towns after almost flattening into earth, right? They widely use aviation and artillery because they have a lot of artillery stocks that they've been, you know, having from the times of Soviet Union. So the cost of this victory is destroyed city, a normal tactics. Well, you know, already yesterday I kind of understood that this would be the situation with Soledar, but my Ukrainian sources tells me that it's more important for the Ukrainian army to save lives of the troops rather than to hold something that cannot be defended. The loss of Soledar is quite significant because because it's close proximity to another important strategic town of Bakhmut, which leads to, the road leads to two biggest cities like Slavyansk and Kramatorsk. So the supply of the weapon and military supplies will be quite limited at this point to Bakhmut, for example. But at the moment, Bakhmut, for example, is still standing.
Okay, but strategically very important, Soledar, or quite important at least. Just finally, Katerina, do we know anything at this stage about casualties or death tolls from the battle in that particular area?
The casualties from the Ukrainian side is always confidential information, so Ukrainian sources are not exposing it. But we know also that the cost for the Russian army will be huge. This is in the first turn because of the nature of the war. When you are doing offensive operation, when you're conducting offensive operation, you always lose more troops. The second reason is that in the assault, in this offensive operation, they used the private mercenaries of the Wagner group. So the first groups that were attacking the town were the conscripted prisoners from the Russian prisons. they are the first one. And second, there are this so-called elite private mercenaries. So, of course, they lost a lot of soldiers from on their side.
All right, we'll leave it there for the moment. Katerina Malofi-Vieva, thank you very much for joining us this evening. As I said, Ciara Ruddick is also on the line, and you're welcome, Ciara, back to the programme. We appear to be getting confirmation there from Katerina that Russia has indeed captured Soledar at the moment, although fighting is still ongoing. What's the latest information that you have on the situation?
Hello, thank you so much for having me. Well, first of all, I would like to recap that it would be a fifth time of the last week that Russia would claim that they captured Soledar. And we should only trust the announcements from our military that are saying that the fighting are still on. What we observe right now is that Russia desperately needs some wins, and they need to get it by any cost. They want to throw as many people as necessary and kill as many lives there as possible, just to show for something why they are being there and why they are fighting. So Putin did not have a win for the last couple of months since Kherson, and probably a little bit before that. So we cannot afford that for ourselves. We treasure lives of our soldiers, and we will not use people as a human shield just to prove Russia that they are wrong. We will be fighting, but we need to be very smart about what we are doing. When the enemy is 10 times larger than you and has people that they're using as a battlefield meat, what you can oppose to that? You should be smarter, you should be more modern, and you should be better equipped. So this is our bet. Get more support, get better weapons, and be smarter in our tactics.
Yeah, and I do hear what you're saying in terms of the way Russia appears to have gained the upper hand in Soledar at the moment, although, as you say, we're still waiting on official confirmation of that. But if they do manage to take the town, how worried do you think the Ukrainian forces will be about that strategically, given it's just, I think, 6 miles from the town of Bakhmut?
That will significantly decrease our ability to provide supplies for our soldiers fighting in Bakhmut. That is also correct. And it will increase the risks of the delivery of this of these supplies. That is also sure. However, let's ask ourselves a question. If they need to kill so many people to take this small town of Soledar, and then they would throw another enormous amount of people to get to conquer Bakhmut. The question is, for how long they can continue doing it? Is this a new strategy to put as many people as possible to get the inches of Ukrainian land? And if that's so, how are they going to sustain that? I think, again, the question needs to be more strategic on where the war is going. And I'm absolutely sure with the latest news on the United States providing us with Patriot systems, with Democratic Alliance's country providing us with tanks and promising us getting more and more weapons, I think we are very optimistic looking forward and looking at spring. You know, for Russian soldiers, Soledar or Bakhmut mean nothing. It's just like some places where they were sent to be killed or like to fight for no reason, basically. For us, it's our land. It's our territory, it's our cities, it's our people whom we had to evacuate. It's our soldiers who are freezing right now there. And this is why we are so, so motivated to take all our territories back.
Yeah, and that has been a feature of the war for the last year, certainly. I know you're talking about the boost that the Ukrainian army is getting from weapons being sent from the US, but there has been some reluctance from Germany this week to commit to sending modern battle tanks, the Leopard 2 tanks that everyone has been talking about for so many months now, with Olaf Scholz saying Germany will continue to weigh every step carefully. Would you be concerned about that aspect of it?
Yes, of course, we. It's very painful for us, this hesitance, because, again, it's not the time that matters. It's lives that are being right now being destroyed because of this time. There is a huge difference between how it feels here on the ground in Ukraine when things are moving so quickly and there are so many events every day, and how it feels when you are in a peaceful country and you can allow yourself a day or two to think. We don't have a day or two usually. We have to have everything right away. It's just, again, the nature of this war. We do hope, though, that, you know, the history of the last 10 months is showing us that it should be one or two countries that are leading the pack, that are making life-changing decisions for us, and then the rest are following. It started with getting us the air defense systems, then getting us heavier and heavier weapons, providing us with some economic support, then getting us as a candidate to European Union. So this is why we do hope that with the latest announcement from France, from United Kingdom, from the United States, from Canada, that we will get more and more support. And at some point, Germany will also make the necessary decision. I just pray that this decision will not be made too late for us.
Just finally then, we've seen many military analysts predict that Russia might be planning for another mass land assault again next week, or sorry, in the next few weeks, or even in the next few months, all over the country. What do you think of that, or what are you hearing?
Of course, we have the intelligence that suggests that it is possible, and we are preparing for our side. I don't think that anything changed for the 10 months in our resistance and our willingness to protect our country with whatever would be necessary. However, this time we would be much better prepared. However, we did so much of our homework in preparing the defense systems for our cities. And Russians were not able to take Kyiv or other major cities, even when they thought they will take us in 2-3 days. Right now, I do not think that they have this idea of doing it over 2 or 3 days, and they do not have all the resources that they had 10 months ago. This is why I do hope that they fail. Well, at least we will do everything possible and impossible that they fail.
Kira Rudik, as always, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, and glory to Ukraine.